Well, this morning, I'm going to tell you about three brothers. One was an accountant, one was a lawyer, and one was a preacher. It just so happens, coincidentally, I have a brother who's a lawyer and one is an accountant. But anyway, and these three brothers, they decided to go deer hunting together. And they saw a buck in the clearing, and they all three shot at the same time. They walked out to where the deer was, and there was only one bullet that had hit the deer. And they began to argue about who had shot the deer. And they argued and argued so loudly that the game warden heard them, and he came by, and he said, "What's going on here?" And they said, "Well, we're trying to figure out which one of us shot this deer." And so the game warden knelt down, and he examined the deer, and just a moment he stood up, and he said, "Well, the preacher shot him." The other two brothers said, "Well, how in the world could you know that?" "Because it went in one ear and out the other." Yeah. We don't want that this morning, church. I tell you, the Word of God always hits the heart if we're willing to hear. So we're going to pray that the Lord give us ears to hear. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your people, for this opportunity we have together today in your presence to hear your word. And I pray, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you would help us to understand. Give us ears to hear, Lord, that we might live in all you have for us and do all that you want us to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we're going to wrap up our series today, The Call to Be a Disciple. It is about living the life that God has called us to. It is about a life of freedom. It is about an abundant life. It is about a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And it's about learning and growing always. It is also about living a life of meaning and purpose. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Go therefore and make disciples. He says we're to go into all the world and make disciples. I want you to know that the vision of Grace Church is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. That's what we want to get done. That's what we want to accomplish. That's what it's about, is making disciples. To make disciples, you first have to be one. He called us to follow him. We can't really be a disciple if we're not willing to make a total commitment to him. Jesus said, anybody that's not willing to forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. He called us to be with him. The disciples were with Jesus 24 hours a day. They were with him all the time. But through the person of the Holy Spirit, we also can be with him all of the time. The call to be a disciple is a call to learn. Jesus taught his disciples. He said, "Learn from me." It's not learning about a religion, it's learning a way of life. You realize in the first couple of centuries that our faith was not known as Christianity. It was known as the way, because it was all about this way of life. It wasn't just another religion. It was about a way. The one who is the way, amen, taught us this way of life. When Jesus said, "Follow me," it was a call to discipleship. It was an invitation to an academy of life from the one who is life itself, that he would teach us how to really live. It's a call to be like him. Luke 6:40, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." As Jesus' disciple, every day we want to grow. Every day we want to be just a little bit more like Jesus. And if we really are his disciples, then we want to do the things that he did. Jesus made disciples. There's a call for us to make disciples. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. In John 15 and 8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus connects bearing fruit with being a disciple. To my Father's glory, you will bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Listen, in this context, when he's talking about bearing fruit, he's talking about us reproducing ourselves, making disciples. I want you to understand that all of us are called to be disciples, and all of us have a part in making disciples. You see, the church is supposed to make disciples. That's what Jesus said we're to do. And all of us should be a part of that process. We're making disciples in this world. The qualification to be able to make disciples is real simple. You just got to be a disciple. Only a disciple can make disciples. But if you're a true follower of Jesus, you need to know this. You know some things that some don't. What I'm saying to you is that you might still have a long ways to go, but if you are a true follower of Jesus, there are people out there that you can have a real impact on. There are a lot of people who call themselves a Christian, and yet they're not a true follower of Jesus. They don't know what it is to really serve God in their life, and they need somebody like you that's truly following Jesus to show them how, to help them be a disciple. In the Gospel of Mark, the Great Commission is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to know that every person on this planet needs to have the opportunity to receive Jesus, to know about the good news. And I'm thankful for people like Brother Ken Dornhecker that travels and goes and tells people who have never heard, people that don't know Jesus. And that's so important. It's so vital. But too often, what happens then is that the church doesn't complete the job, because it's not enough for us to just get somebody to convert to Christianity. We need to disciple those people. That's what Jesus said that we're to do, make disciples. And too often, the church is not as strong as it should be, because there's so many people. Well, in our time, listen, there's so many people that don't even bother to go to church. Somehow in this religious culture in America, they've been taught, they think that it doesn't matter. They don't need to go to church. They don't understand the importance of being a part of a church body. They don't go to church. They don't really live for God. They don't really serve God. They're not being used of God, but they're a Christian. And I'm telling you, church, they're living a substandard Christian life. We need to teach them what it means to really follow Jesus with all their heart and be a disciple of the Lord. Somebody has to disciple them. Chuck Swindoll is a great Christian writer. He's written many, many Christian books. And he pastors a large church in Frisco, Texas. And I don't know, you know, maybe you haven't heard of him, maybe you have, but let me just put it this way. He has impacted many lives for the kingdom's sake, that a lot of people's lives have been touched through his ministry in one way or another. In one of his books, he writes part of his testimony, and I want to share it with you this morning. He says, for a number of years after I became a Christian, I messed around with spiritual things, just messed around. I ran around with church folks. I learned the God talk. I sang the hymns. I even memorized verses. I prayed pretty good prayers. I carried my Bible to church Sunday after Sunday. But my life was my life. I didn't let all that religious stuff interfere with things like my career, my home, my strong will, my pursuit of things, my determination to go my own way, or my own personal plans. I wasn't a wife beater or a criminal or an alcoholic or some notorious sinner. No, I was just a selfish man. I knew how to get what I wanted, and nothing was going to stand in my way, including God. I was a Christian, but certainly not a disciple. Then shortly after joining the Marines, another evidence of my determination to be tough and self-assured, I was transferred overseas. While overseas, I met a man who saw behind my tough mask and was determined to help me come to terms with the Christ I claimed as my Savior. He discipled me. Month after month, we met together, talked together, played ball together, laughed together, wept and prayed together, studied the Scriptures and witnessed for Christ together. Like Jesus with his men, this man took the time to help me peel off my mask of religion and absorb the authentic message of Christ. I found myself slowly changing deep down inside. I got to the place where I hated the hypocrisy of my former religious lifestyle. I got into the Scriptures on my own, and they became my bread and meat. And I began to meet each day with my Lord, asking him to deal with my ugly selfishness. And did he ever? Chuck Swindoll, who's impacted so many lives, here was a man living just like so many other Christians, saved, but not really serving God, not really following Jesus. As he said, he was not a disciple. Who would have thought if they saw this young, self-confident Marine doing his own thing? Who would have thought that one day he would pastor a great church and impact the lives of so many? But one man cared enough about Chuck Swindoll to take the time, to make the effort, to do what it took to show him what it was to really follow the Lord. And his life was forever changed, and so many others have been changed. I'm telling you this morning, you just don't realize the impact that you can have as a disciple by making disciples. There's people around every single one of us, many who claim to be Christian, many who claim to know the Lord, and yet they're not serving God. They're not following the Lord. In fact, some of them, they say, oh, well, I tried Christianity. Oh, they tried a prayer, but they didn't try Christianity. They didn't try following Jesus. They need somebody to show them what that looks like, teach them how to really follow the Lord. So how can we make disciples? Well, we just need to follow the example of Jesus. How did Jesus make disciples? Well, first, before he ever called someone and said, follow me, the first thing that Jesus did is that he loved people. First and foremost, he cared about people. He loved people. Jesus went about doing good. He was helping people. And I want to tell you something. People knew that he loved them. They knew that he cared for them. He ministered to the people. And if we're going to impact somebody's life, first and foremost, they need to know that we love them. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus lets us know this is the trademark of a disciple. This is how the world knows, is that we love one another. Listen, not that they'll know that we go to church or that we're religious. This is how they will know that we are true followers of Jesus, is that we love one another. And so if we're truly a disciple, I want to say very plainly, we're going to love one another. But also, that's how the world knows. People need to see that we really love others, that we love them. You can't help somebody if you don't really love them. Have you ever known one of those people that was so intent on getting somebody to pray a prayer that it was like they were more interested in having a spiritual notch on their belt than really helping somebody? I want you to understand, if we're going to reach people, if we're going to help people grow in the Lord, it has to be because we love people, because we care about people. You know, in the story of the rich young ruler, when Jesus spoke to him, the scripture tells us that he looked at him and he loved him. And it doesn't really explain that. But evidently, as Jesus looks at this rich young ruler, there was something about the way that he looked at him that communicated that he loved him. He cared about him. And I want you to know, the world can tell when we look at them with judgmental eyes and condemnation. And they can tell when we really care. But Jesus looked at this man and he loved him. I want to read it in Mark 10:21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." He looks at him with love, and then he tells him, "Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me." Jesus discipled people by telling them that it takes a total commitment. If you're going to disciple people, don't water down the message of Jesus. They don't need a substandard Christianity. They need the real deal. And Jesus never watered it down. Listen, a watered down gospel, a watered down message doesn't really change lives. They need the whole thing. Jesus demanded a total commitment. This rich young ruler walked away sad because he had great wealth. And I'm going to tell you the straight up truth. Not everybody is going to follow Jesus. Not everybody will truly embrace him. But you want to tell people, it takes a total commitment to truly follow Jesus. You can't do it half-hearted. You can't serve two masters. Nobody ever regrets giving God their life, but there's sure a lot of people that regret doing it their way. Third, he was with them. Mark 3:14, he appointed the 12 that he might be with them. Jesus was with the 12 24/7. And we need to teach people, as I said earlier, that we can be with the Lord all the time through the person of the Holy Spirit. But understand this, that if we're going to make disciples, it has everything to do with relationships. You can't disciple someone that you don't spend time with. Jesus was with these 12 24 hours a day for 3 years. We've got to spend time with people for us to be able to have influence in their life. I've seen this principle so clearly in youth ministry. The same principle is true with adults, but sometimes you just see things happen quicker with youth ministry. But the youth pastor that doesn't spend any time with the teenagers, it doesn't matter how great of a teacher he is, in the long run, he's not going to have much of an impact. The youth pastor that hangs out with the kids and does things with them and builds a relationship with them has a great influence. And so it is in our life. You see, certainly the teaching from the pulpit is important. Certainly we can learn that way. But understand this, there are a lot of things that can only be understood and taught on an individual basis. People need that time with somebody, and that influence that you need to disciple somebody only comes through a relationship. That relationship takes time. You know, sometimes we look at Christian fellowship as just fun. It's an optional fun thing. That's not the way it is in the Scripture. Fellowship is actually a spiritual activity. If it's not, it ain't doing it right, because it should be. It is about us building a relationship. It's about us being close to one another. And I'm telling you, there's not enough of that in the body of Christ today. We need a closeness, a relationship with one another. You remember in the story that Chuck Swindoll told about himself, he said they played ball together. We need to just hang out with one another and be with one another. You know, a lot of the things that Jesus taught the disciples were things that just came up in life. Certainly, they heard him lecture, teach all the time. But then it was in those private times that they would ask Jesus questions, and just in the events of life, Jesus would teach them. One day, they're all arguing about who would be the greatest. Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them about what it means to be a servant. And I'm just telling you that if we're going to disciple people, you got to do life with them. You got to hang out with them. You got to spend some time with them. John Maxwell says that leadership is influence. And if you're going to lead someone into a closer walk with the Lord, you got to develop a relationship with them that allows you to have influence into their life. Jesus had 12 that he really discipled. Now, there were others in the Scripture that were referred to as disciples, but Jesus focused on these 12. Now, think about this. You see, we might think that, oh, no, we just need a big group. Jesus focused on these 12, and those 12 turned the world upside down. That's what the Scripture says. They turned the world upside down. That's amazing. You know how they turned the world upside down? Because they were disciples of Jesus. And my point to you is that what we need to focus on is, can we really help somebody make a difference in somebody else's life, help them understand what it means to follow the Lord, help them grow in the Lord? What if every disciple in this church could disciple one person this year? You see, we can do it, try to do it the world's way. Let's do a lot of PR. Let's do a lot of flash, and we can get a crowd out. Let me tell you what's more life-changing and more lasting fruit that remains is when we make disciples. And if we just make disciples, I'm telling you, the church grows, and it just keeps growing. It's been working this way for 2,000 years, but we got to make disciples. Fourth, he taught them. You got to teach people. What is taught here on a Sunday morning is important, as I said, but it takes teaching on an individual basis. There's no learning like one-on-one. Educators know that. The bigger the classroom, the harder it is for students to learn. The smaller the classroom, the more personal, individualized attention they get, the easier it is for students to learn. Think about this. The disciples got to ask questions. Some people that want to serve the Lord, they don't know, they don't have anybody to ask questions. Now, we all know this about life. There's always things that come up. There's always, in every life, almost on a daily basis, we have difficulties and challenges and things that we don't have the answer to. And you know what? We need brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can talk to. You see, when I say you need to teach, I'm not talking about that you have to be a teacher. I'm talking about that you have to be willing to share what you know and help somebody else along their way. You see, somebody may be struggling with their kids. They're in trouble at school, or maybe they're even in trouble with the law. They're rebelling and they seem to be out of control and they've done everything they know to do. You know what they need? They need somebody that they can sit down and talk to about this that can give them scriptural principles. Maybe somebody that has been successful in raising kids and they can learn from them. Somebody else has financial trouble. They don't know how to handle their money. They need somebody to sit down with them and go through it with them. I'm just telling you, we need to teach one another, learn from one another. You know what? It's not even just for those that are young in the Lord or don't know how to follow the Lord. Listen, even a disciple, if you consider yourself to be a disciple, we learn from each other. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we should always be learning from each other. We don't know everything. And where one area where we might be weak or we don't know, somebody else might have an answer, might be able to help us. Jesus started with 12. They were his small group. Just want to remind you that Jesus started the small group ministry of the church. Absolutely did. This is not a new thing. You know why? Because it works. We need a small group. We need a group of people that we can learn from and that we can have a part in ministry. But you can't teach what you don't know. So we need to always be learning and growing ourselves. Next, Jesus modeled it for them. He is our primary example, and we need to be able to say to people, as the Apostle Paul did, 1 Corinthians 11:1, in the New King James, it's imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In the King James, it's be followers of me as I also am of Christ. In the NIV, it's follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, none of us is perfect, but if you are following Christ, then you need to be able to point other people in the right direction to show them how to live for the Lord. Not just telling them, but showing them. You can't take them any further than where you are. Remember, Jesus said a disciple is not above his teacher. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can disciple somebody, and at some point, they may far surpass you, but it will not be you who is discipling them anymore. They will have moved on beyond your ability to disciple them. You can only take somebody as far as you yourself are, because you have to model it for them. Let me put it this way. If you want to learn to play the guitar, I can teach you 6 chords. By the way, I've known the same 6 chords for 40 years. That tells you I'm not growing much, right? But if you want to learn more than that, you're going to have to talk to Josh or Jonathan or somebody else, because that's as far as I can take you. And I'm just telling you that if you want to disciple other people, you got to model it. You got to be an example. You got to always be growing yourself, because you can't take them any further than you are. You can't teach what you haven't learned. You can't give what you don't have. And you can't reproduce something that you're not. You reproduce what you are. That's a heavy responsibility for a parent. I said this in an earlier message, but it needs to be said a lot. As a parent, you have a unique opportunity, a powerful opportunity, to teach your children what it means to truly follow Jesus. See, don't just teach them about success, teach them about life, teach them how to fish, how to do things. Teach them how to serve the Lord. Teach them what it means. Be an example to them. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to show them how to be a real Christian and follow Jesus. But whoever we want to influence, we've got to be an example for them. And the last thing that Jesus did was he sent them out. Jesus didn't just tell them about it. He didn't just model it for them. He sent them out to do it. He sent them out to make disciples. And if you're a disciple, I tell you, you need to make disciples. But also those that you disciple, you need to teach them to do the work of the ministry. You need to teach them, influence them, show them, and then send them out. Get them involved in ministry. They need to care about other people. They need to see that this is part of being a disciple, is making disciples. You can't teach a boy how to play baseball just by example and talking. I mean, you can sit and watch games with him on TV and tell him about all the rules and tell him what's happening. You can take him to the games where he can see the big guys playing. And I'm just telling you, he's never going to learn how to catch, how to throw a ball, how to hit a ball until he gets to do it himself. It's amazing that Jesus, while he's still here on this earth, he didn't do it all himself. But the guys that he discipled, he sent them out. And I'm telling you, if you are a leader, if you're going to disciple somebody, it's not just about you making your mark. It is about you training them. In fact, I want to say this very clearly. Whatever ways that God uses you, you need to be training somebody else to do what you do. Whether that is an official position in the church or if it's just something you do out of the community, I'm telling you, you need to train somebody. You need to disciple somebody to do the things that you do. I think sometimes in the kingdom, it's kind of like in the world where people think, oh, well, you know, when I'm not doing what I do, there's going to be a big hole. Well, shame on you. You didn't do your full job because you need to train your replacement. You need to train somebody to do what you do. And whether they replace you or they do it somewhere else, we're supposed to be making disciples, reproducing ourselves. Jesus did. Remember, discipleship is a process. They're made. They're not born. And sometimes it seems like they're not getting it. Sometimes it may seem like your efforts have no impact. It takes time. And you don't always see the fruit of your efforts. Jesus was with the 12 for 3 years, and they had a lot of victories and successes. But after 3 years, there were still those times when Jesus says, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't get it?" And I'm just telling you, there'll be those times, those moments when you wonder, am I really making a difference? But you are. And you just have to be steadfast, serving the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not just a little bit, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to challenge you this morning to make a difference, to influence some people, to help people. Who knows, that person that you touch, who knows how many lives they're going to impact. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you for this time we've had this morning. I pray, Father, that much fruit will come from this seed of the word. I pray, Lord, that you would just, by your Holy Spirit, speak to hearts today. Help us, Lord, to know, Father, what it is that we need to do and how to do it, to bring glory and honor to you, and to help somebody else along their way. Father, I pray that you speak to hearts now, and I pray the Holy Spirit just do a work in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.